Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, no one gets married with the intention of getting divorced. But the way many people act once they say, I do, sometimes it makes me wonder. You know, the wedding is often planned to a T. The marriage, not so much. So, you know, I remember many years ago my ex-brother-in-law asking if I thought he should get married for a third time. And knowing him well, I responded, not as long as you think there's a difference between courtship behavior and marriage behavior, with marriage behavior coming out on the short end. So he must have heard me because he has been married to his third wife for almost 30 years. But, you know, it makes me wonder, why is it that so many people seem to share my ex-brother-in-law's viewpoint about once you're married, you don't have to do anything? And what is it that they stop doing that causes so many problems? So to help answer that question and hopefully save you some heartache, I'm joined by writer, healer, and teacher, Deborah Demander. So, Deborah, thank you so much for being on the show and talking about this really important topic.
Thank you for having me, Leslie.
So what got me interested is you wrote an article recently called, okay, everybody hold on to your seats here, Top 10 Ways Men Destroy Their Marriage. So what prompted this article, and do you think there is, like, one behavior that is that men do that is the most destructive?
I was prompted by a failed marriage, go figure. And I started looking at what I had done wrong, what he had done wrong, kind of commonalities. And through some counseling, just came up with some thoughts that there were some things, and from male friends that I had and the way I saw them treating their wives, I thought, you know, my ex-husband isn't the only one who does these things. This is kind mm-hmm. of a typical guy behavior. I think the main failure or the main problem in marriage is failure to communicate. And I think that falls for both men and women, and especially, unfortunately, for men. They're just not huge communicators.
Well, and part of it is, you know, and this is one of the things that I deal with all the time, because when I work with couples, the first thing I almost always have to deal with is just that, how they are communicating, or more to the point, how they are not communicating. Because men and women really do communicate differently. And the problem is that we don't necessarily realize that, or more to the point, even if we do realize that, how to fix it.
Exactly. And I think part of the issue becomes women typically talk a lot and want to communicate, whereas men typically tend to keep things more to themselves and want to figure things out without burdening their partner or feeling weak or any of those things, and women really start to feel isolated in their marriage when that happens.
Yeah, and that's a critical component, because women see communication as connection. And a lot of times, what you're right, men don't, you know, men want to solve the problem. Or one of the things that I've recognized is once the day is over, once it's done, they don't want to go back and revisit it, because that just kind of brings up, especially if it's something that didn't work well, it brings up, like you said, that idea of failure or weakness or whatever it is. And I think that's a really important component of the male-female dynamic.
And I think oftentimes women, we connect by talking, we connect by sharing, this is what happened in my day, this is, you know, what this person said. And men immediately think they want to fix it or help us with something. We're not necessarily looking to be fixed. We just want to share how our day went. And they just don't communicate that way. And so that disparity really creates a distance between husbands and wives. And when the wife starts to feel isolated and disconnected, then she starts to shut down. And the guy, he sees his wife shutting down, so he shuts down. They're very compartmentalized. And they're able to put things in little boxes, a work box and a home box, whereas women are very integrated, and we want to feel communicated. We want to feel like we're connecting in our marriage. We want to feel like we're connecting with people at work. So we have a completely different way of looking at the world. And we just, as married couples, we have to learn how to communicate past those differences.
Right. I remember years ago, somebody had sent me to a website because they knew what I did, and it was how to laugh your way to a better marriage. And he was talking about the boxes. And, you know, that men have this nothing box. And, you know, I said, I would give my left arm for 5 minutes in a nothing box. You know, like, I want to turn my brain off. And this is a really common thing. And it creates some issues for women in other areas as well, because we sometimes can't shut that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go into a nothing box. But, you know, in the article you mentioned, you know, the second and third behaviors that you identify, I think are related a little bit. Can you talk about what those are and what problems they cause?
Yeah, and I think those, I don't have the article right in front of me, unfortunately, but I think those were, I think they're talking about distancing yourself from the marriage when the husband spends time not at home. And certainly husbands need time to themselves. They need time to regroup. They need time to sit in quiet. But wives really start to feel disconnected when that happens. And then we don't feel valued. We don't feel like we're being appreciated. And it really can create bigger problems down the road, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the third point, sorry, I'm sorry that I don't have it in front of me. But I think
yes.
The third point talks about, I do have it in front of me, I lied.
Okay.
Okay, so not getting close enough and then being closed off. And both of those behaviors lead women to not feel close, to not feel connected, and to not feel intimate. And those are really important things for women.
Mm-hmm.
Well, for men, it's important for them to kind of be closed off and deal with stuff on their own. However, women, if you don't want to talk to her, you can hug her or you can hold her hand. Just let her know that you're there and that you care. You don't necessarily have to talk if you're a man and you don't feel like talking after a long day. But to go into your office and shut the door or turn on the TV, turn up the volume and zone out to the news, that's okay too if you hold her hand, have her sit next to you on the couch. But typically that doesn't work because a man comes home from work, he's tired, he's, you know, his brain has been working all day. He wants to just watch the news or, you know, I have a friend who he loves to play video poker at night.
Mm-hmm.
But his wife is dealing with their kids. She's making dinner. She's doing the dinner dishes. So feeling completely isolated and abandoned, and it's not the man's intention, but that's how the woman ends up feeling. And then the third one was being closed off. And that goes back to what we talked about just a moment ago about being in the boxes. Men can really close that. Okay, I was at work, now I'm home. The work box is closed, and now I'm in the home box. Women are like a strand of Christmas lights. If one of the lights goes out, the whole strand doesn't work anymore.
Yeah,
and
I love that analogy you gave.
But it's so true. If something goes bad at work, we bring it home with us, and it you know, we're upset. We sometimes take things personally. We feel like, oh, what did I do? How can I fix this? Whereas men really are, and it to their credit, really are able to close those off and say, you know what, I'm done at work. I'm not going to worry about it. When we feel closed off, when you shut that box, we feel like we've been disconnected. We don't feel close. We don't feel intimate, and then that leads to the other problems in the relationship later on. So my suggestion would be for men to, you know, it's understandable that you're tired after work. Maybe on the way home, just turn the radio off and have some quiet time then, so that when you get home, you can, you know, give your wife a hug, ask her about her day. Even if you don't care about how her day went, she still needs to talk a little bit. And if a husband can just give her 10 minutes or 15 minutes and say, you know what, honey, let me hear about your day for a few minutes and listen, then she's going to feel connected to him. So
well, and I think that's really important. And I had a friend years ago, and we always used to joke because he was a high school teacher, and his commute, I mean, they lived like 5 minutes away from the school. So he would come home, and he would need to go and decompress. I think that's what he called it, was decompress for, you know, for like 15, 20 minutes. And then he would come out and, you know, join the rest of us. I mean, he'd even do this when we would be coming over for dinner. It's like, oh, yeah, he's got to go decompress. No big deal. But that was part of his routine, and that was what enabled him to come and be present you know, with whoever else was in the house, his wife, us, whoever happened to be there.
And I think that all comes back to that honest and open communication. If a husband can say, you know what, honey, I need 10 minutes to just come in the door and not engage with you and the kids and whatnot, and then in 10 minutes come and get me and I'll be present for you. I think that just, it requires that little bit of open communication, and it's hard to get to that point. You know, we, as women, we talk to our girlfriends, we talk about anything, but gosh, when it comes to our husbands, we just close our mouths and we don't say anything. So my husband and I, he comes in the door, I give him a kiss, and then I back off. I let him kind of unwind for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we come back together, and then we start talking about how our days went and what happened. But he also just needs those, that time to just kind of unwind from work and exactly decompress. But I think it boils back down to be open and honest about it. Communicate. Tell your partner what you need. And don't feel weak. It's not a weakness. It's something that you need.
Right. One way, and my husband frequently does this, is when he comes home from work, he goes upstairs and he changes his clothes. So that's just kind of part of the thing, you know, and it's not like you. So it becomes part of the routine. But I do think that there's also something that's important for men to understand about if what they think is spending time with their wives isn't necessarily what women think of as spending time, because yes, you can be in the same room, but you know, this goes way back to when boys are young and they engage in parallel play, where mm-hmm. they could be doing similar things right next to each other but not interacting. And you go back to the old, you know, communication studies with little girls, and they're looking at each other and they're playing with each other's hair. And it's like,
exactly.
it's a very different way of being together. So, you know, they say, well, yeah, we spent last night together. And it's like, well, yeah, I was on the couch watching, I don't know, The Bachelor or whatever, and you were on your computer, you know, or reading the latest sports score. So we were in the same place, but we weren't actually together.
Right. That's exactly it, and that goes back to those two points from the article, is that you have to be willing, both of you have to be willing to give a little and
and
be willing to communicate your needs. And so, you know, give them a little bit of time alone, but then they have to also be willing to spend some time, even if they don't really care about whatever it is we're doing. We both parties have to make sacrifices in order for it to work well.
Well, and as far as the concept about not caring, we can get into trouble going down that road, because I need to care about you. So if you care about this, then I'm caring about you by listening. And not that I necessarily care whether, you know, your administrative assistant broke up with her boyfriend and what that means
right.
for you. But it is important to, you know, engage in behavior, just because this is important to my partner, and
exactly,
and my partner's important to me. So this is Happily Ever After is just the beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm talking with writer and healer Deborah Demander about some of the common ways that men contribute to their marriage's ending. So if you struggle to understand what your wife wants or how to make your marriage all that it could be, I encourage you to reach out right now. Send me an email or call me and leave me a message on my voicemail to take advantage of my free, no obligation, Create Your Happily Ever After marriage strategy session. You can reach me at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's FOUNDATIONS. Coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com, or you can give me a call at area code 919-924-0463. That's 919-924-0463. And guys, I've got to tell my husband, I'm not male bashing, but guys, it's important for both parties to know what's going on. And that's not to say that your wives are all 100% right. Please, this is not what this is about. But I need you to understand that there are some common things that guys do that can create problems. And so one of those things or actually, Deborah, you mentioned two other ones, not saying I'm sorry and not taking responsibility, which I also think are somewhat connected, because in order to say I'm sorry, there's an inherent thing that I'm going to take responsibility. So why does this seem to be such a struggle?
I think it's true that those are very well connected, and I think unfortunately we have a societal climate right now that allows people to not take responsibility for their own behavior. And in marriage, that can be devastating for your wife. If you are blaming your wife, well, she got fat, so I had to have an affair. She nags at me all the time, so I have to drink. She, whatever she does, so I have to. No, no, no. You are in complete control of your own life. You are drinking because you choose to drink. You are out at the bar with your friends because you choose to be there. You are having an affair because you choose to do that. Whatever behavior you have is completely your choice. And I think it's a failure of our society in general that we allow our children and we allow our partners to not take full responsibility for what their behavior is. I think as adults, we have a responsibility to ourselves to stand up and say, yes, I did that, and it was a bad choice. And then, I'm sorry. And unfortunately for men, they learn from an early age that that is a weakness and that puts them in a bad position, that puts them in a losing position. And marriage shouldn't be about winning and losing. Marriage should be about creating a partnership. And when you're afraid to say, I'm sorry, please forgive me, how can you move forward? If you choose to do something and you don't take responsibility for it and you don't say you're sorry, it leaves your partner in a kind of a no-win situation. And really, in marriage, we shouldn't be fighting each other. We're not up against foes. We're supposed to be up against our partner and our best friend.
I think that's really important. And I frequently say that the three hardest words in the English language are not I love you, but I am sorry, because there's a misunderstanding. Now, sometimes somebody will actually do something that they need to apologize for, but sometimes it's just the result is unintended. It's, I had no idea that my doing this would be a problem for you. I'm so sorry that, you know, that I hurt you. I mean, when I talk to my clients about this, I say, okay, when your little kid falls down and skins their knee, what's the first thing you say to them? You go, oh, I'm so sorry. It's like, did you push them down? No, you're not at fault. You're just so upset that they're hurt. And that's what comes out. Oh, I'm so sorry that you hurt yourself.
Exactly. And I think when people are willing to apologize, it shows a willingness and an openness to making things work, to being aware and having empathy for how the other person feels. And when we refuse to do that, it's like we're closing ourselves off completely.
Well, and that's an important point, that empathy point, because I was having a conversation with somebody, and I made the comment about that you and your partner see the world, you have had completely different experiences in the world, and so you have different perspectives. And they looked at me like, really? And I'm thinking, and to me this is like, well, yeah, but I think that's a really hard thing sometimes for a couple to understand that this thing that doesn't bother me, my partner finds devastating.
Exactly. And it's developing that empathy. And as you said earlier, that care and that concern for who they are and for their experiences and what they're going through. And, you know, even if we inadvertently do something to hurt the other person, it still just shows that we want to make it better when we apologize. There's not a weakness in that. I think it takes, especially for men, a great deal of strength to admit that they were wrong and to apologize. And I think, as you said, those words, I am sorry, much, much more powerful and much more significant than I love you.
Right. And, you know, and And this whole idea of taking responsibility, and I could not agree with you more, because everybody wants everybody else to take responsibility.
Yes.
But when it comes to me having to take responsibility, I'm going to try to find every excuse in the book. Sometimes there are valid reasons for why things happen, but reasons are different from excuses. Because if I know I was supposed to do something, if I promised my partner, which is, by the way, what we do on our wedding day, those vows are actually promises. So when I make a promise to love, honor, and cherish my partner, and then I'm not actively doing it, then I need to take responsibility for my behavior. And I love your example about, my partner did X. Well, yes, your partner might have done X, and you might not have liked what your partner did, but you have multitudinous ways of responding to that or reacting to that, and then that's your choice.
Exactly. And I think, even with my kids, I see that they're constantly blaming each other and say, that wasn't my fault. That was because this happened.
Right.
Wait, no, this is entirely your fault. And I think in marriage, it's important for both parties to be man enough to step up and say, yes, I chose that, and it was a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard, and that's, unfortunately, we're being trained, and we're training our children now to not do that. And
mm-hmm. Yeah,
when we're seeing
the result.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're seeing the result, and it's not good. But I want to get to this last one because, we're not covering all of them, so I want people to go and read this article because it's really very good. But the last one I want to talk about seems very counterintuitive, or at least counter to what seems important to many men. And one of the things that the mistakes that you see men making is taking all the fun out of sex. Now, guys are probably going to go, what do you mean I take all the fun out of sex? So how do they do this, and what is the impact of that?
Absolutely. Unfortunately, it's true. They do take the fun out of sex because it's not just women don't want to just be wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That is not just an old cliche. We don't like that. That is not fun for us. It is not fun to feel used. And even when you're married, you can make your wife feel like she's being used. And that is not fun for women. And believe it or not, I have so many men commenting on this article and so many men saying, well, my wife hates sex and it's all her fault. Well, maybe just for a minute, think that women actually do enjoy sex, and we would enjoy it more if the men cared to take time to do it. And I say in the article, and I so believe this, I say this when I speak to people, it's think in terms of a microwave and a crock pot. Men are a microwave. You push a couple buttons, boom, they're turned on, they're ready to roll. They don't care who it is or where. I'm exaggerating, of course. They want to be with their wives. But, they're ready to go at the push of a button. Whereas women, if you think about a crock pot, that's an all-day-long process. You got to plan ahead at least the day ahead so you have all the ingredients. You plug it in, you put everything in the morning, and then you wait. And at the end of the day, you have a delicious meal. Men are not like that. Boom, pop, press a button, out comes your hot popcorn in 30 seconds. So when you think in terms of a sexual relationship, guys are, they're excited. They are easy. I don't mean to say they're easy to please, but for the most part, guys enjoy sex and they don't get all bogged down. Women, we need a little bit more than just that. And sure, an occasional, quickie in the morning is okay, but we don't want that to be our only interaction with our husbands. We want to feel intimate and close to them on a much bigger level. And so we want to feel attractive to you. We want to feel like you're pursuing us. We want to feel desired. We want to feel like you think about us during the day. These are all things that speak to a woman's need to feel close and connected and intimate. So just going to work in the morning and coming home and expecting that you're going to have sex after the Tonight Show is over or whatever, that doesn't really work well for women. Women need to be, send her a text during the day. Hey, I was just thinking about you. Hope you're having a good day. Give her
right,
a kiss.
A non-sexual comment.
Exactly.
Now, sexual comments are good too.
You can throw those in there, but that don't make
but
that
it can't be the main
everything.
Yeah.
No. So unfortunately, So for women, it's more fun to, yeah, you could throw a racy comment in there, but if that's all you're texting, it gets a little old and she's not even going to read your text after a while. She wants to feel appreciated. She wants to feel like you're thinking of her when she's not there. When you come home, give her a kiss. Give her a little pat on the behind. Just some non-sexual, non-suggestive touching that makes her feel connected, because that's going to open her up to the possibility of a much funner encounter later in the day or later on that night. But women really need to be, and I hate to sound like we're so high maintenance, but for us that sexual connection is really about feeling close and intimate, and that takes time to build up. That's not just something we can turn off and on. And I think, you know, and it's men and women are just different. It's not bad. It's just different.
Right. And by the way, we're different that way for biological reasons. And there's so much information out there about how different men and women are put together from the sexual aspect that, you know, and unfortunately, back in the early days, most of the information, most of the studies were done on sexuality were done on men. And so, but in the last 20 years, there's been a huge number of research studies done on women's sexuality. And we are slower to warm up. And in fact, for about 50% of women, and this is really important, guys, you got to know this, for about 50% of women, we don't feel desire until we are physically aroused. So this is one of those problems with wives not initiating sex frequently. It's like, you know, the example I use is, well, you're going to know you're hungry before I do, because I'm not hungry. You know, it's like, I'm not going to feed you because I'm not hungry.
That's a great analogy.
You know, and so part of this is creating the opportunity, because where a lot of times, you know, men can hijack the situation because, you know, getting their hopes up. It's like, well, you promised this morning that we'd have, you know, an encounter this evening. It's like, well, yeah, that's before the baby threw up and, you know, all these other things.
All this stuff happened all during the day. Right.
You know, that something could have happened that, you know, and part of that is, and I want to tell guys, don't get mad, even though, or don't, I mean, and I know that a lot of times men feel rejected, and this is very hard, especially when it comes to sex. It's personal for everybody, but it becomes very personal. But if they can take a breath and kind of regroup, then they actually might be able to salvage the evening, but a lot of it depends on that, like you're talking about, that connection, that empathy, that understanding. And you know, you've said a couple of things today that make me go back to one of my standard comments about marriage, and it's marriage is for adults. And I don't mean over the age of 21. I mean people who are actually acting as adults.
And that's a very good point. And I think the point you made, you can salvage it. If your wife has had a long day, maybe give her a foot rub. Have some close connection that's not sexual in nature. Draw her a bath. I love it when my husband comes in and while I'm doing the dishes, he says, oh, I started you a bubble bath. Oh. I feel so cared about when he does that. And sometimes he even remembers to light the candles. And it is so sweet. And he says, oh, baby, I just want you to relax. And it's just so thoughtful. And that's, for me, that's like, oh, he really cares. We really are connecting. And then I'm more open to being intimate later, because I feel cared about and I feel like he really wants to connect with me.
Mm-hmm.
So those, you know, a man can salvage it. If things look like they're going south, don't lose heart. Don't feel rejected. Take it, like you said, Leslie, take a deep breath, step back and regroup. How can you salvage this? Find a way to connect to her that's not sexual, and gently open her heart back up.
Yeah, that's really important. So this has been a really good conversation. We could have gone, I mean, I still would love to cover the other things that we didn't cover, but can you tell people where they can find this article, where they can find more articles that you've written? Because I think you've got a lot of really important things to say.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I currently write articles on a site called Hub Pages, H-U-B Pages, P-A-G-E-S, and it's Deborah Demander, D-E-B-O-R-A-H, and Demander, D-E-M-A-N-D-E-R. I demand that you remember that. I have about 150 articles on that particular site. Most of them are relationship-based. And then I also have a book called The Married Girl's Guide to Great Sex. It's on Amazon. And it's not about sex. It's about being in a relationship and how, as women, we can improve our relationships with our husbands. And I wanted to give it a racy title, and you know, in some more conservative areas, it's not well received, but it's really about how to help that relationship be stronger.
Right. So, you know, by definition, relationships involve two people, and both have responsibility for its success or its failure. So what each person puts into their relationship will determine whether or not it's going to be successful. So if you don't bring your best as often as possible, your marriage really can be damaged. So if you're making the mistakes that we've talked about, or maybe some other ones, do something different and start right now. As hard as it may be to accept, we get the marriage we create. And if you're not thrilled with yours, create a different one. And hopefully, by listening to this show, you'll get some ideas about how to do that. So until next week, stay loving.